Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. The topic of my speech today, as the brother mentioned, is the pristine Islamic identity, extreme or enlightened. The topic of identity is so important to Muslims because oftentimes we hear questions, and sometimes we even ask questions about who we are and where we belong. Sometimes we wonder about our role here in the West, and here in America in particular. This issue of identity is so important because our identity as Muslims today is under the microscope more than ever. These days, it's hard to go even one day without Islam or Muslims being mentioned in a news headline. I'm not exaggerating when I say that Islam and Muslims are the most talked about subject and topic in the news today. You can look at events, whether they take place in Syria or Nigeria or Yemen or Pakistan or Iraq or Afghanistan or India or Turkey or Somalia or even right here in the United States. Even right here in the city of Chicago, the Muslims and Islam occupy the headlines. So Islam is under such intense scrutiny, both internationally and right here domestically, that no Muslim can escape the spotlight that's being shined directly on us. Now, again, someone might ask, why is identity so important? What's the big issue? What's the big deal? And I'll say that it's important for three reasons. The first is that Islam has defined our identity for us very clearly. And not only that, we'll be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we don't live up to its expectations. Number two, anytime the Muslims abandoned their identity, we suffered humiliation, we suffered defeat, we suffered stagnation, we suffered disunity, we suffered decline. And we'll discuss that later in the speech. And the third reason, we can't escape our identity no matter how hard we try. Look, the reality is that the world views us as Muslims, and they judge us by our actions, whether we like it or not. So we have to define who we are. We have to define our deen the way it's meant to be defined, and we have to act according to its expectations, as Allah and His Messenger have commanded us. The Islamic identity, as the title of this speech implies, is the pristine identity. It is the noble identity. It is the dignified identity. And inshallah, today we're going to discuss why that is. So this name that we call ourselves, Muslims, the one who submits, the Muslim, it's an honorable name. It's a dignified name. It's a beautiful name. It's a noble name. It's a name we should take pride in. Because Allah and His Messenger have repeatedly praised us, praised those who submit to Him, has honored and dignified and given a special status to those who obey Him and who submit to Him. And there are so many verses, verses that we know, verses that we've memorized, verses that we recite, verses that we read to our children. When Allah says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرَجِتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفَ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَلَى الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ When he says in translation, you are the best nation ever arisen for mankind. You enjoin the good and you forbid the evil and you believe in Allah. And he goes on to say, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ O you who believe, if you help Allah, He will help you and He'll make your feet strong, or He'll give you a strong foothold. He will give you a firm foothold. And he says in Surah Talaq, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ The translation, whoever has taqwa in Allah, He will make a way out for him. And He will provide for him from places that he didn't expect. These are the gifts. These are the noble and the distinguished statuses that Allah has given us as a Muslim ummah. And he goes on to say, again, praising those who adopt this identity, who adhere to this identity, who implement this identity, when he says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Who could be better than one who calls to the way of his Lord and does righteous good deeds and says, verily, I am one of the Muslims. And it doesn't stop there. The praise for the Muslim, the praise for the Islamic identity doesn't stop there. Because the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, you are the last of 70 nations and you are the best and the most honored amongst them to Allah. And the praise and the dignity for the Muslim and for the Islamic identity doesn't stop there. Because the Prophet ﷺ again is reported to have said in the very famous hadith, I have been given five things which were not given to any of the prophets before me. Allah made me victorious by awe from the distance of one month's march. He said, the earth was made pure for me, or a place for praying, and that I can make tayammum for it. He said, the ghanaim, or the spoils of war, have been made legal for me. He said, every prophet used to be sent exclusively to his nation, but I have been sent for all of mankind. And number five, he said, I have been given the right of intercession on the day of judgment. And these are gifts. These are honors. These are qualities that have been bestowed upon our prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, that we believe in and that we obey and that we send prayers and blessings upon. So we as Muslims, when we adopt this Islamic identity and we call ourselves Muslims, we have so much to be proud of and we have so much to be grateful for. In addition to all of that, the Islamic identity is very unique. The Islamic identity is the most unique identity in the entire world, and I'll tell you why. Because our language, our skin color, our nationality, our tribe, our ethnic origin, our background, none of that matters. None of that counts. The only thing that counts in Islam is that we say La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And that our Islamic identity is defined by our belief, by our aqidah, not by superficial bonds that we have no control over. And this has happened time and time and time again, over and over and over and over again in the Islamic history. Once you become Muslim, once you adopt this Islamic identity, you shed your former one, you leave your former one, you let go of your former one, and you become part of this one Islamic ummah. And you adopt this new Islamic identity that receives these benefits and these noble qualities and distinctions that I just mentioned. In fact, this happened with the Sahaba themselves. May Allah be pleased with all of them, and it will continue until the day of judgment. Look at what Allah says in the last verse of Surah Mujadila, where he says, لَا تَجِدُوا قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ أَبَنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْ عَشِيرَتَهُمْ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ Where he says in translation, you will not find any people who believe in Allah and the last day making friendship with those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even though they be their fathers, or their sons, or their brothers, or their relatives. This verse, When you look at the tafsir, when you look at the explanation, when you look at the story behind this verse, it's talking about the Sahaba. It's talking about people like Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. It's talking about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. It's talking about Mus'ab ibn Umair. It's talking about Umar ibn al-Khattab, all of whom had to confront, and all of whom had to fight, even fight their own family members on the battlefield. Imagine how hard that is. Imagine how difficult that is. Imagine how painful that must be. But they've shed their former identity and they adopted this Islamic identity and they made the greatest of sacrifices for this identity, for this Islam. Allah praises these people and we recite these verses and we remember these people who made these sacrifices, who after adopting the Islamic identity, defended Islam, even though it was difficult, even though it required struggle, even though it was full of hardship. And it highlights the identity of brotherhood that exists between Muslims, no matter where they're from. Even though the nationality of the Persians differs from that of the Romans in the Sham, and from the Copts in Egypt, and from the Berbers of North Africa, and from the Indians, and from the Chinese, and from the Indonesians, and the Nigerians, and the Chechens, Islam constructs a new identity. Because they all become part of one Islamic Ummah, the Islamic Ummah. We call this Islamic identity and an identity. Because Islam builds the identity based on intellect and based on thought. Not superficial bonds, like we mentioned, of national origin, or land of birth, or ancestry, or tribe, or family affiliation, or status, or nobility, or money. Islam hits that issue very hard, and it destroys the notion that the identity is built on anything other than the intellect. What Allah says in the Quran, "Inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum," that verily the most high, or the most noble, or the most distinguished, or the ones with the most status amongst you are the ones that have the most taqwa. That Allah cares not about anything else except for our taqwa and our fear of Him. In Islam, we know no one is better than another except in taqwa, except in righteousness, except in good deeds. Doesn't matter if you're an Arab, doesn't matter if you're white, doesn't matter if you're black, doesn't matter if you're Indian or Mexican or Chinese or whatever, or wherever you may come from. Look at Muslim history. This isn't just words, this isn't just rhetoric, this isn't just hypothetical talk. Look at the Muslim history. Look at the names, listen to the names. Imam Bukhari, Imam Abu Hanifa, Ibn Rushd, Imam Qurtubi, Ibn al-Arabi. These were not Arabs. They came from different parts of the Muslim world, and we remember them because of their works that they did as Muslims. Not because of where they came from, not because of the color of their skin. It doesn't stop there. Look at the defenders of Islam. Look at the heroes of Islam. Yusuf bin Tashfin from Africa. Look at General Beyberz and Qutuz from North Africa. Look at Salahuddin al-Ayyubi from the Kurdish region. Look at the Uthmanis and what they did for Islam. Look at Sheikh Uthman bin Fodio from Western Africa and what he did for Islam and how he defended Islam. Look at the Muhammad Ali brothers from India at the beginning of the last century and how they responded to the destruction of the Khilafah all the way in Turkey. Anyone from any background can excel. Anyone from any nationality, anyone from any cultural heritage can excel in Islam. And history is a testament of this. History is a witness of this. This name, this identity as being Muslims is something we should take such pride in. It's something we should build pride in our children in our kids, so that when they say, "I'm a Muslim," they understand what that means and they're proud of that. And when they say, "I'm a Muslim," they understand the honor and the distinction and the nobility that Allah has given them with that title. Because that's a title, this name of Muslim is not something that's to be taken lightly. Allah says in Surah Hajj, who has sammakum al-muslimin min qabl, that He named you Muslimin. He has given you this name of Muslimin all min qabl, all the way before even our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was delivered the message, was given the message, was appointed with the message of being the final prophet and being the final messenger for all of mankind. And this verse, who has sammakum al-muslimin min qabl, this verse is so important. It's such a defining verse. Why? Because when you look at the explanation of this verse, when you look at the background of this verse, Allah has given us a name and He expects us to live up to it. Because in his tafsir, Imam Ibn Kathir quotes a hadith from An-Nisa'i where he reports the Prophet ﷺ said, "Whoever adopts the call of Jahiliyyah will be one of those who crawl on their knees in hell." He said, "Whoever adopts the call of Jahiliyyah will be one of those who crawls on their knees in hell." And a man said, "Ya Rasulullah, even if he fasts and performs a salah?" And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Yes, even if he fasts and even if he performs a salah." So adopt the call of Allah whereby He called you Muslims and believers and servants of Allah. Now someone might ask me, or someone may ask, or someone may bring up the issue, can't I be considered a capitalist Muslim? Can't I be considered a communist Muslim, or maybe a Republican Muslim, or maybe an American Muslim, or maybe a Ba'athi Muslim, or whatever label you want to give? But then I would ask them, am I truly calling to the way of Allah when I call myself a capitalist Muslim? Am I truly calling to the way of Allah when I'm calling for the separation of religion from life like capitalism calls for? Can I truly say that I call for Islam while holding on to the atheism and materialism like communism calls for? Can I truly say that I call for Islam while at the same time taking pride in my Pakistani or Jordanian or Iraqi or Nigerian heritage, when these meaningless national identities were simply drawn on a map by the British and French colonialists who sought to break up the Muslim lands and destroy the Khilafah? Does that make sense? Isn't there a contradiction in there? Because if I do adopt one of those names, and I am calling for Jahiliyyah, and if I am calling for Jahiliyyah, I fall victim to those people that the Prophet ﷺ warned us about. Lastly, why is it such a big deal to correctly define the Islamic identity? Because Allah issues another severe warning for those who abandon this identity. He says, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. In translation, he says that if you turn away, He'll exchange you for another people and they won't be like you. And again, this isn't just mere words. This isn't just light speech. This isn't just simple talking. We believe in Allah. We obey Him, and we don't care what anyone else thinks. We don't care what anyone else says, right? We know that Ramadan is coming, the hottest of days and the hottest of months. Yes, we look different and we look strange because we fast in the hottest of days, in the middle of the day, in the burning heat of the sun. But we don't care because this is our identity. We believe in Allah and we obey Allah. When we let go of everything when it's time for prayers, that's our identity. We believe in Allah and we obey Allah. When we lower our gaze when we're supposed to, when we stand up for the truth, when we enjoin the good and forbid the evil, even when it's not popular, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's not politically correct, this is our identity because we believe in Allah and we obey Him. And that verse, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا, that if you turn away, has happened, and we can see and cite examples in history where there have been people, Muslims, who've abandoned, who've neglected, who've let go, who've fallen back on their Islamic identity, and Allah did disgrace them and He did replace them with a better people. Very simple examples before I conclude. Very simple examples I'm going to share. From a practical point of view, when we abandon the Islamic identity, what happens to us? When you look at our history as Muslims, anytime we let go of our identity for a tribal or an ethnic or a nationalistic one, we always suffer the worst humiliations. We always suffer the most and worst defeats, like we see in our situation today. Just look at the story of what happened in Spain in the 11th century. And the history will take a long time to go into, so I'll bring very brief points to illustrate and punctuate what happens when we let go of the Islamic identity. We know and we read about the glory of the Muslims in Spain, We read about the great history of the Muslims in Spain, but look what happens when we let go of Islam. The Muslims in Spain started breaking up amongst themselves and started creating their own fiefdoms and territories called Tawaif, where they would constantly be fighting each other. What happened? In the 11th century Common Era, the Christian king, King Alfonso VI, exploited the situation and he took advantage of the situation. And he set up some of these Muslim leaders to fight amongst each other. And he continued to exhaust their resources so they were fighting against each other. At the same time, he was harassing other Muslims and taking their rights from them, to the point that the Muslims were leaving Spain and going into Morocco, seeking refuge in Morocco from the Muslims over there. So what happened? In 1086, the Muslim hero Yusuf ibn Tashfin went to Spain. And he was such an honorable person, such a distinguished person. What did he do? He sent a message to King Alfonso VI. And he said, let's decide where we're going to fight and when we're going to fight. So the time and the place had already been set. When him and his 7,000 soldiers set sail and got into Spain, Alfonso attacked him a day before they even agreed, showing how treacherous he was. Despite that, the Muslims still won at the historic Battle of Zalata. The story doesn't end there. 2 years later, same thing happened. The Muslims let go of their Islamic identity, ignored the Sharia, let go of the Islamic laws, continued fighting amongst themselves. So Yusuf ibn Tashfin had to go back one more time. Didn't end there. A third time it happened, once more. The Muslims were fighting amongst themselves, and even Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, Imam Ghazali that we read about today, he even issued a declaration saying that Yusuf should go once again and put an end to that disunity because the people had left their Islamic identity. So this is the history of what happens when we let go of our Islamic identity. And Yusuf ibn Tashfin, again, is a name that we should be familiar with and we should be reading about and we should be teaching our kids about, because he adopted the Islamic identity. And what did he do? All the way from Morocco, he still gave his bayat, his allegiance to the Khalifa in Baghdad, showing the importance of the Muslim unity and adopting the Islamic identity. And not only that, 82 years before Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi defeated the Crusaders in Palestine, 82 years before that, all the way from Morocco, he set sail with 60 ships all the way to Al-Quds to defend the Muslims, because he couldn't bear seeing the Muslims oppressed, being dominated, being subjugated. His mission wasn't successful. But if it was, imagine how that would have changed history. The last thing I want to conclude with, because the time is coming short, is that when you look at our history, even our recent history, even 100 years ago, same thing. When the Muslims adopted Islam, we saw how we excelled. When we let go of our Islamic identity, we saw how we declined. Let's look at the very quick example of what happened in the early part of the last century with the rise of nationalism amongst the Muslims. We saw the rise of Arab nationalism and the rise of Turkish nationalism that occurred. And we saw who was actually behind that. This concept of nationalism and hating each other is foreign to Islam and is not an Islamic concept. We know who was behind that. We see, when we read the history of the British and how they instigated the tribal or the nationalistic rivalries between the Arabs and between the Turks. And while the British were supporting the Arabs in their rebellion and their revolt of 1916 against the Uthmani Khilafah, at the same time, in the same year, in the same breath in 1916, they hatched the Sykes-Picot Agreement. The Sykes-Picot Agreement, where while the Arabs were fighting the Uthmanis, they said how they're going to break up the Arab lands of Iraq, the lands that we know as Iraq and Syria and Jordan and Lebanon, and carve it up amongst themselves. So those who had adopted the call of nationalism were betrayed and double-crossed. And this is the humiliation that we suffer. This is what happens when we let go of our Islamic identity and abandon it for another identity. So the take-home message for this speech, the take-home message that I want to, inshallah, convey, is that, again, the world is judging us by Islam, whether we like it or not. And we have a clearly defined identity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have to live up to, whether we like it or not. And that there is a plan to separate us from our Islamic identity, whether we like it or not. Because the kafir colonialist knows our identity too. And the Kafir colonialist knows our history too. And the Kafir colonialist knows what happens when we adopt our identity, and he knows what happens when we let go of our identity. So finally, despite all of that, just know one thing. There is a resurgence and a revival. We see all across the Muslim world. You can look at places like Syria, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan. You could look at Pakistan, Bangladesh, Egypt, Morocco. You can look at Syria. You can look at Germany, Ukraine, France, United Kingdom. You can look at Mexico. You can look at Argentina. You can look at Brazil. You can look at all over the world. Even here in the United States, even here in Chicago, the resurgence of the Islamic identity. And you see people readopting and reclaiming the Islamic identity. This is your identity. This is who you are. So my message is to adopt this Islamic identity and to share it with the world. أقول قول هذا واستغفر الله العظيم جزاكم الله خيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
تكبير الله أكبر تكبير
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sira are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about IslamPodcast.com.